told a guy I love him. What I meant to say was, oh, I love that. But I got so caught up that I yelled out, oh, I love you. And then all of a sudden he got this look on his face like Indiana Jones running from the big ball.
Well, Roz, do you love him?
No, but I said it, so he should have said it back. It's just polite.
There is no more emotionally charged phrase in the language than I love you. Some people are just incapable of saying it. It makes them too vulnerable.
And are you very careful with whom you say that to? Or are you one of those people who has diarrhea of I love you? I love you. I love you. You say it to anyone, everyone, and it becomes meaningless. It wipes out the significance of it. But you could also be the other type of person who never says it. And partly it may be because you don't value yourself. Because, again, my favorite author, Ayn Rand, author of The Fountainhead and Atlas Shrugged, said, to say I love you, one must first be able to say the I. That's from The Fountainhead. Now I'm paraphrasing that. But you need to have self-esteem. You need to be able to value yourself, and then you can look out and say, oh, this person is worthy of me. This person is someone who comes at the world the way I do. It's this person is a soulmate. They share my values, and you value that in them. Then you have visibility with one another, and that's absolutely wonderful. I'm Dr. Ellen Kenner. I'm a clinical psychologist, and my show is The Rational Basis of Happiness. Right before the break, we were talking about how will we welcome them home, and I'm talking about soldiers, the veterans coming home. And one of the soldiers said that reunion is not always a happy time for the soldiers. He works with soldiers, too. Trying to help them adjust. And he said there's a huge period of adjustment and adaptation. You know, they're coming home, their expectations are so high. Finally, I'm home, and the wife and the children, or the husband and the children, depending on who's deployed, are so excited. Family members are all excited. And then the soldier's wondering privately, do I still fit in after what I've been through? Or my husband or my wife has taken over all my jobs at home. How do I reintegrate into my family? Or children may be indifferent to you, or they may be clingy, too clingy, and or have some sort of a very difficult time warming up. How do you make that transition easier for yourself? Many soldiers are afraid to seek help, and that's too bad. They're afraid that it'll go against their military record. And we were assured many, many times, although I hear that that doesn't help, in this conference that I went to on how will we welcome them home, sponsored by the National Guard and Brown University and other organizations, that it won't put a black mark on their record, and definitely seek the help. But we'll talk about that in a different show. Earlier on, I was talking about a mother who's absolutely frustrated by her child. Now, when I first read this, I thought it was a 13-year-old child. I had to go back and see, oh my gosh, this kid's only 6 years old. So imagine having this kid and being in her Darlene's shoes. Hi, Dr. Kenner. I have a 6-year-old son, and I am at the end of my tether with him. My husband and I are constantly being pulled in at his school for his bad behavior. He constantly tells lies, and now he's stealing. He stole 20 pounds, she's from England, just the other day. I know that amount means nothing to him, but only today he stole a mobile phone from a good friend of mine. Also, he has a habit of commenting that my husband is looking at other women. If he were in my family, he would be right, but I love it. It's fun. I'm not threatened by it. Whether it be on TV or someone passing by, the other day he told me that Daddy told him that he wanted another better woman, and he said that I was fat. I know my husband wouldn't say that. Today, while at a friend's, he commented that my husband was looking at my friend's daughter. I was mortified. And my husband didn't know what to say, as the poor girl is only 13, and even she was annoyed by it. I don't know what to do anymore. I've spoken to my health visitor, but found her to be unprofessional, and I don't have much faith in her. I'm so fed up, and I wonder if maybe there's something I'm doing wrong. I have a 3-year-old son at home also, and I'm afraid that my 6-year-old son's behavior will rub off on him. I'm hoping you can give me some advice. Well, I would first try to get a therapist for your son right away. I know you're in England, or if even family therapy, to see if you can get to the core issue here. You can go to the Academy of CT, cognitivetherapy.org, all one word, and perhaps you can find a cognitive therapist in England. I know there are some there. So You're asking me three main questions. What causes my son's behavior? Will it rub off on my three-year-old? And is it me? Am I doing something wrong? Well, first, kids are responsible for their own behavior. This is from Stanton Samenow's book, which I recommend getting. It's on my website, drkenner.com. The book is titled, Before It's Too Late. You want to catch kids before they build these into their character, these very bad choices they're making. He says, children, this is a quote, children become antisocial by choice. Lying, fighting, stealing, and other forms of destructive behaviors are willful acts, unquote. Meaning, kids can choose. Kids make choices from a very young age. Did you take that cookie from the cookie jar? The kid can either say, yes, I did, or no, Joey took it. You know, blame it on a brother. So kids are making choices from very young ages, and that's what we're trying to do as parents is to help civilize them, to help them learn virtuous choice making, being honest, having integrity, thinking for yourself, just making yourself rational into a good person. So, in terms of blaming yourself, you may hold some role in this. You may be one of those very permissive parents who lets the kid really walk all over you like a doormat, and you're afraid to say anything because you're so paralyzed by guilt that you may have done something wrong. Or you may be one of these very controlling parents, so controlling that the kid is lustfully wanting to rebel against you. You may be yelling, screaming, hitting him, punishing him in ways that are ineffective. Punishment doesn't work. You need the natural consequences, which are actually punishment, but much more effective. For that, I recommend another book for you. And the book is How to Talk So Kids Will Listen and Listen So Kids Will Talk. That's on my website, drkenner.com, by Adele Faber and Elaine Maslisch. That's what I would call the Bible of child rearing. It's phenomenally good. I would not have been the parent I was had I not read that book. If you're worried about sibling issues, it rubbing off on your younger child, then you want to be aware that that parents can do a lot of things that create sibling rivalry. They can make comparisons. Why can't you be more like your sister? Why can't you be more like your brother? Your brother got A's in schools. I'm not getting any phone calls from your brother. It's just very annoying, and it escalates the behavior, and it paints the child in a corner, in a role that's hard to break from, in the bad kid role. So if you want to break out of a role, chapter 6 in that book is excellent in helping you do that. But again, you need to educate yourself, and you do not want kids who start to get into trouble like to split people. They like to pit mom against dad. Well, daddy told me I can do this. Why can't I do it, mommy? Or to try, they're always trying to cause trouble between the parents. It's like divide and conquer the parents. So you don't want to let that happen. If you and your husband both read these books that I've recommended, Before It's Too Late, Siblings Without Rivalry, and How to Talk So Kids Will Listen and Listen So Kids Will Talk, you will be so much better armed and more eager to parent, and because you'll be a knowledgeable parent. So I encourage you with that. I'm Dr. Ellen Kenner, and you can always email me back if you have any other questions. I'm Dr. Ellen Kenner, and you're listening to The Rational Basis of Happiness, and that means your happiness matters. Think about your life right now. What in your life is upsetting you? What's giving you a headache or keeping you awake nights or making you just feel revved, on edge all the time? Those are the type of issues that you can call in and ask me about, whether it's with a coworker or with yourself. You're frustrated with yourself. You procrastinate. I'll give you, my website is drkenner.com, and we have an after-hours line, and that number is toll-free. It's the same as our regular number, toll-free 1-877-DRKENNER. That's toll-free 1-877-DRKENNER. And coming up, what can you do to become happier than you are right now? You might start learning from today's experts. But the search for happiness is not limited to people of the 1990s or 1900s, or even to techniques used since the Renaissance. We're going to go back 2,000 years, and I'll be talking with Dr. John Lewis, who will talk about what made the ancient Greeks one of the happiest civilizations in history.
Here's an excerpt from The Selfish Path to Romance, the Serious Romance Guidebook by clinical psychologist Dr. Ellen Kenner.
Love is neither sacrifice nor exploitation. It's a relationship in which both parties are happy because they both get the rational things they want. You may be thinking, okay, fine, but it's impossible for both partners to be happy if each one does every single thing he or she wants all the time. Well, that depends upon what you mean by every single thing. For example, one should properly eliminate bad habits, such as being chronically late, failing to shower regularly, leaving smelly clothing and mold-covered dishes scattered about, living for booze, etc. Why? Because these are not rational values. People cannot rationally want to be irresponsible or a slob. Just try imagining the romantic lives of those who don't value themselves or don't value being responsible.
You can download Chapter 1 for free by going to drkenner.com, and you can buy the book at amazon.com.